What I want to do this evening is actually to start with something from a while ago. And the reason for it is because I was re-examining it. I think I mentioned a little bit of this in the email with the materials for tonight. I was re-examining the exceptions to the prohibition against having medicine on Shabbos, and one exception in particular, and I realized that I should have expressed it and described it more fully. So I want to take the opportunity to do that before we go back to the topic that we've been discussing of Hakal Hakal Tchila. So we said that you're not allowed to have medicine on Shabbos. The issue is lest one grind ingredients, either people who don't know the rule, who see that a person has medicine, may assume that that means you're allowed to grind it up, or alternatively, that people who themselves want to take medicine and they run out may, in desperation, come to grind things up so that they'll be able to take it. So that's the prohibition. We said that the prohibition only applies to relatively low-level illness. Once a person gets to Chole She'ein Bo Sakana, somebody who is bedridden, somebody whose whole body is ill, then one is allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. And we also said there are other exceptions to the prohibition. One exception was taking something that people normally treat as food, even if you want it for medicinal purposes. So eating a banana for the sake of the potassium was a classic example. Another exception was in the event that somebody is taking a course of medication that has to run through Shabbos, and if they don't take it, then it will cause harm. And that was another example. But one of the exceptions, it was exception number three in our list, was taking medication that was mixed into food before Shabbos. Right? You remember that? Those who were here when we discussed that? Okay. So I, again, was looking at it more fully and realized I gave the topic short shrift, and there are a couple of things that I should have really brought out. So I figured, all right, let's go back and discuss that and clarify it. So if you look at the sheet and you want the source sheet here as opposed to the Nishmas Avram sheet, we're not going to go through the Nishmas Avram on it because we haven't seen the Nishmas Avram on it yet. This was part of my introduction that I gave to Or HaChaim Shin Chaf Ches. So there's a Gemara in Shabbos, which is source number one. Amar Mar Okva Amar Shmuel. Mar Okva quoted Shmuel saying, Shora Adam Kilorin Me Erev Shabbos. You're allowed to soak Kilorin before Shabbos, V'nosein Al Gav Einav B'Shabbos, and then put it on your eyes on Shabbos, V'eino Choshesh, without any concern. And what we said was that this is meant to create some kind of an ointment that you would want to have on your eye, and you're allowed, according to this, to prepare it before Shabbos and then use it on Shabbos. And the reason why, if you take a look at source number two, Rashi explains, Diladide, within Mar Okva's view or within Shmuel's view, Kevin de Atzrachua Lishrosa may Erev Shabbos, since you need to soak it before Shabbos, Ika Hekera, there is a reminder for you. Since you had to do it before Shabbos, there is a reminder of you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. But like a lemigzar, and so we don't need a decree. That's in terms of you, the user. We're not worried that you might make a mistake and think that you're allowed to grind things on Shabbos because we're telling you, get this ready before Shabbos. And what about the other problem, the problem of the onlooker? Uman dechazinhu, we're in the middle of source number two, somebody who sees this, sabar derechitza bialmahi, he's going to assume that all you're doing is washing your eyes. He thinks that it is wine as opposed to any kind of medicine, because apparently it's a thing to wash your eyes with wine, or it was a thing to wash your eyes with wine at some point in the past, and that was actually considered a bright idea. So, point being for us that you have to prepare it before Shabbos, and therefore you won't be confused and do it on Shabbos. And you mix it into food, or you do something to it such that people will think that it is not medicine at all. And that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in source number three. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Shora Adam Kilorin Be'erev Shabbos V'nosin Al Gabei Ha'ayin. You can soak this Kilorin before Shabbos and put it on your eye. She'eino nira ela karochets. Because you just look like you're washing your eye. V'hud lo amitzu pasach. This assumes that you're not going to squeeze your eye closed and open like somebody who's trying to put in drops. V'loch eishina mishum shchika samanim. We're not worried about potential grinding. D'kevin shlo itiru lo lishros an ela me'erev Shabbos ike hekera. Since they're only allowing you to soak it before Shabbos, you have a reminder. That's the straight Gemara, the straight Shulchan Aruch. Simple, straightforward. The Minchas Yitzchak brings this as halacha, although he notes an interesting dissenting view. He quotes the view of the Maharsham. The Maharsham suggests that maybe the only time that this is permitted is where the medicine itself is machal briyim, is something that healthy people normally take. It's not only something that's used for illness. That's the Maharsham's view. So Rabbi Yitzchak Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, a major authority in medical halacha in the 20th century, he was the posek for Shaarei Tzedek Hospital at one point. He says, in source number 4, Hinei hamtza'azu, he says, this innovative idea, la'arev devar refua v'machal briyim, mixing medical things into the food of healthy people, like soaking the kilorin in whatever your liquid is that he's going to use. He says, Mikora mishita mikubetzes huva bagos marsham. He says, the source for this is the shita mikubetzes, which is, you know, built on our Gemara, and so. Avalafima shemachalek sham marsham. However, the marsham makes a distinction there, and according to him, ein heter, there is no permission for this. The marsham does not like it. He limits it. Ach ra'isi v'sefer sha'arm ha'metzuyanim b'halacha shehevi mishut mishpatei tzedakah hasfardi lahatir. But then he says, I saw others who in fact allow it. U'biyosir yesh lo markein. And that view is more likely that this is acceptable. Im ma'arev me'erev Shabbos kodesh, if you mix it before Shabbos. D'shayach b'zeh hakeira, because then there's a recognition that you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Shakasa b'sefer ketos ha'shulchan. And when people are in a lot of pain, there is what to rely on. So is everyone clear to this point? Right now, this is just a rehash of what we've said. The new stuff starts now. Two potential limitations. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt you have to limit this because he was concerned about, well, let me say it the other way around. We have a rule. Right? The rule is that when it comes to halacha, you're not allowed to do things which people might misinterpret, right? You're not allowed to do things which people will look at and think you're doing something that is prohibited, right? That's the law of Maris Ayin, right? Basic principle. So tell me something. If there is something that's prohibited because of Maris Ayin, am I allowed to do it in private? If something is prohibited as Maris Ayin, am I allowed to do it in private? What would you say?
No.
No, right? The answer is no. You're not allowed to do it in private. So as an example, there is a halacha that if you come into the house on Shabbos and you got caught in a rainstorm and your clothing is soaking wet, it looks like it just came out of the wash, you're not allowed to hang it in a place where you normally hang your wash, because people are going to assume you did laundry on Shabbos. Ah, but it's inside my house. It might be in my basement. Doesn't make a difference. When it's something is prohibited because of Maris Ayin, even b'chadrei chadarim, even within a room within rooms, it's off limits. That's the principle. There's much discussion about this, but that's the halacha. So Shlomo Zalman is bothered. If you're telling me that normally we have a concern that the onlooker might think you ground something up, how does it help you if you hide the medicine in food? Why isn't that just like doing something in your basement to avoid being detected? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman placed a very strong limitation on this leniency. Take a look at source number 5. He says, Al kolpanim nira, shecholam likach kadur, Ulahamis oso me'erev Shabbos, v'lishtoso b'Shabbos. He says, it appears that you would be allowed to take a pill, dissolve it before Shabbos, and drink it on Shabbos. That he's good with. Umistaber dehua dinami yachol leshochko larvo besukar ba'ofen shlonikar. Or presumably, he says, you could grind it up and mix it with sugar. So again, it's not at all recognizable. That you can do. Ulam, however, lechasoso kemoshehu besoch ochel, to just hide it in food, but leaving the medicine intact. If I took a pill before Shabbos and I inserted it in a piece of cake, but the pill is entirely intact, he's not good with that. He says lav klumhu. That's nothing. Why? He says that's like hanging the clothing up in your basement. The pill is entirely intact. It is detectable. So therefore, he's not willing to accept that approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that since you have a concern of Maris Ayin, you have to make sure that you just really like dissolve it, grind it up to a point where the medicine is undetectable. Not just that, it's hidden. That's the idea. Dr. Block and then Dr. Felder.
I would think that somehow eye medication might be different than medication that is taken by mouth. Because eye medication is something everybody's going to see. But taken by mouth is not something anybody's going to see.
Why is everyone going to see the eye medication? You just apply it and you're done.
I mean, if you did it in public,
well, that's true.
They'll see that you're putting something in your eye.
That's true if you take medication in public also.
If you're eating a piece of bread that has a pill in it, it's a little bit different than putting something in your eye.
Right. No, that's true. The that distinction I accept. But the idea that, well, that the eye one is less detectable, I think both of them are instantaneous. Meaning I take a pill in public, it is just as noticeable as applying something to my eye in public. They're both noticeable. It happens. I take eye drops, I put them in my eye, and that's it. It's over. I don't see why why one would be more detectable to people than the other. I don't see. I don't know. No pun intended. Dr. Felder.
I wonder whether I understood the hanging the clothes. You wouldn't do it in public for Maris Ayin, but when no one can see it, and I understand that you still can't do it, it's no longer for Maris Ayin because no one is seeing it. So there must be another reason for it. It's not because it's within public view. The reason the other times we don't do things because of public view, this is not in public view. So it has some other reason why we can't do it.
So actually, no. Meaning the concern about Maris Ayin when it's not in public view is the concern. Well, there are two concerns. One is the concern that you think you're not in public view, but it turns out that you are. And the other is that people take it lightly and then get themselves into trouble. They're doing it outside of public view right now, but they're going to continue to do it, and they won't be as careful as they need to be. There's a discussion in the Rishonim and the Gemara in Beitza about whether that principle saying even in private applies specifically to biblical prohibitions or perhaps specifically to rabbinic prohibitions. Maybe it applies specifically to biblical prohibitions because those are more serious. Or maybe it applies specifically to rabbinic prohibitions because people don't take them as seriously and therefore you need a special safeguard. But it is fundamentally a Maris Ayin rule.
It sounds, I don't know whether it's worth pushing, but when I think about, for example, people that don't hold by an Erev, even though believe in an Erev, but they say, I don't want to do it because I'm worried that I'll come to rely on it, and I may be someplace else where it's not up, and I haven't asked the question, and I've accustomed myself to using an Erev when maybe, and so it feels like that's the issue with not hanging clothes in my basement. I can't remember the last time, how many decades, that somebody just happened to wander into my basement, take a look and see, how's your dryer looking, And so I'm thinking that it may be the issue where I'm afraid that if I do it in the basement, I'll come to do it outside, which would feel like, again, there's some other argument, but not really, because in reality, unless there's some other reason, not in reality that anybody's ever wandered in my basement or in my shower, if I hang it on a shower curtain, or it just doesn't happen. And I imagine most of us would probably feel the same. can't think of when people just sort of wandered in and happened to see.
So here I think you have to read it as being part of the Maris Ayin rule, regardless of the rationale that's underlying it, just because otherwise you end up in the dangerous category of Gzeira L'Gzeira, right? A rabbinic decree for what is itself a rabbinic decree. I'm not 100% sure about the application of it here. It's really further afield than I intended to go. But either way, let's say you say that it's not strictly speaking a Maris Ayin consideration. How does that change your thinking on the halacha? You're saying that therefore Rosh Hashanah Zalman should not apply the Chadrei Chadarim issue here.
Right.
I see. This is Rosh Hashanah Zalman's position. We're going to see that not everybody agrees with it, but that's Rosh Hashanah Zalman's limitation. That was one thing which I really should have brought initially. Second limitation that I should have brought in initially is to suggest that this is only appropriate if it is a medication that is not normally mixed into food in order to take it. In other words, since the whole point is supposed to be a heker, right? The whole point is supposed to be that there's that or not the whole point, but part of the point is supposed to be that there will be a recognition by the person doing it that you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. If it's a medicine that normally gets mixed into food, then you've lost that recognition. You follow? You're telling me mix it into food in order to remind me that I'm not allowed to grind things up on Shabbos, but if you always mix this into food before you take it, does that really work? Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question in source number 6. He was asked a different question. He was asked the question of, what if you didn't mix it on Friday, but you mix it on Shabbos? Doesn't the fact that you're mixing it into food serve as a reminder anyway? So this was part of his reaction. He says in number 6, V'yesh lev melef mizeh, rak l'minei refuah, shetzarek likham ayedeshia arvein be'eze machol ve'eze mashke. I said it the opposite of what it was. He says, it specifically works if you're dealing with a medicine that is normally mixed into food. I said the opposite. It's a medicine that is normally mixed into food. So he says, we're going to make you do that before Shabbos. That's what he's saying. He says, we shall learn from here, only for medications that you always take by mixing them into food, or into a drink, whatever it is. V'aderech shehu be'atzmo nosein leso hamachol v'hamashke b'shar shetzarech likach harefua. And normally what's done is, at the time when you need the medicine, at that point, you mix it into the food or the drink normally. So he says, that's the case where we say, we're going to let you put it in before Shabbos, and take the medicine on Shabbos. If other people won't recognize that it is medicine, they say that it's only food or drink. He says, look, the Kilorin case, this eye ointment that we're talking about, is always mixed into liquid before you use it. So he says that's the important paradigm here. It's a medicine that is normally mixed into food, and your novelty is that you're telling him to do it before Shabbos. You can't take just random medications and stick them in food and think that that works. That's Rav Moshe's argument. And then he adds a note. Let's say you wanted to be smart, okay? We have somebody wants to go into Jewish business. There are certain medications. I realized it last Pesach. You have to remember, I spent 14 years not being in the shul rabbinate. So a lot changed in those 14 years in terms of the nature of Jewish pharmacy. The questions, I was on a WhatsApp chat with other rabbis and mashgichim, and everybody was asking the questions that their communities were asking them, in the run-up to Pesach. So I learned about certain medications that everybody wants, and I've become more sensitive to that, medications that you can't get a kosher version of. They or that are very hard to get a kosher version of. You know, one of the big ones right now, not a Pesach issue, but a year-round issue, is collagen. They everybody is looking for kosher sources for collagen. So in terms of the part that's relevant here, getting myself back to the shiur, somebody is going to listen to this and say, the medicine that is normally mixed into food may be taken on Shabbos as long as you mixed it into food before Shabbos. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to market medicine pre-mixed into food. Right? I will create brownies that have all sorts of medications mixed into them, and I'll ship them out, and that way it was pre-mixed before Shabbos. This will be my this will be my mint. I can retire on it. So Rav Moshe says that doesn't work. It doesn't help you. Why not? He says, this is the second half of source number 6. The gam hu davka kisha osa harafua lo yachin ba'ado gam ze liten ba'amachov ha'amashke shetzarech. He says, has to be where the osa harafua, the manufacturer of the medication, is not the one putting it into the food or the drink. He says, you can't tell me with the eye ointment that it's okay for him to buy a pre-mixed eye ointment and apply it on Shabbos. He says, that is a medication where the patient doesn't need to do anything, and therefore it is prohibited. So what Rav Moshe says is that the whole point of the kilorin, of this eye ointment, is for it to be a reminder. So it only works if this is a case where you prepare it before Shabbos, not where you ordered it pre-prepared. And it has to be that this is a step that's necessary for the medicine, mixing it into the food. Are you clear? Understood? Did I lose people? No, we're good? Okay. Rosh Lomo Zalman thinks that that's incorrect. If you look at source number 7, the last source in this segment, Rosh Lomo Zalman says no. He quotes Tosfos, Misrapas v'holeches, or Misrapes v'holeches, Kim'at meforash, Sheregilus haisa lehishtamesh ayidei hakilor atzmo. With due respect to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, he says, if you look at Tosfos, it seems almost explicit that the eye thing, the eye ointment, was not normally mixed into a liquid. It's not true. Rabbi Moshe thinks it only works with something that's normally mixed into food or liquid. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says it's not true. The paradigm in the Gemara, the Kilor case, it's not so. The reason why it's permitted is just that you're doing it in an unusual way. And he says that's the Meiri's implication as well. So he says Rav Moshe Feinstein's position is not logical. Where he says that the kilorin is normally soaked in water first. He's quoting Rav Moshe. He says it's not so. He doesn't agree. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's position is, it does not need to be a medication that is normally mixed into food. That's not so. All you need is the heker, is the reminder. And therefore, in a footnote, which you see here in number 7, Ha'ara Tzadi Gimel, it's the fourth line, Nira Lefini is Daiti, it appears in my humble opinion, Sha'anafkamina Bein Hashito, it's the difference between Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, the difference will be, what if you have a medicine that is normally dissolved in food or liquid? Diladas Maran, according to Shlomo Zalman, lo yo'ilim ya'asem erev Shabbos kevedein shinoi. It's no good to do it before Shabbos, because then there's nothing unusual. Uladas egris Moshe shabir mahani kevedein avi heker. But Moshe says, no, that's your reminder, the fact that you're doing it before Shabbos. So what we end up with is this. Just to summarize what we've done here. Yes, we have a heter of taking medicine that was mixed into food before Shabbos. However, number one, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says it has to be invisible in the food. Not just buried in the food, but invisible, ground up, dissolved, in some way rendered invisible. That's, or undetectable is a better term. That's number one. Number two, we have a debate as to whether this applies either, according to Rav Moshe, only to foods that are normal, to medicines that are normally mixed into food before you take it, and you have to do it before Shabbos, or, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, only for medicines that are not normally mixed into food, and then you mix it before Shabbos. You follow? Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman are disagreeing about what constitutes a reminder for the user. According to Rav Moshe, the reminder is if it's normally mixed in, but you do it on Friday. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's just the fact that you're doing it in advance. And if it's in fact something that's normally mixed in, that's less valid as a reminder. So two opposing views. So there's a lot, there's a lot here in terms of this this leniency. Okay, so I confused everybody on one point. Now we're going to be confused on a different point. Enough confusion on this.